This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Inna alhamdulillah, all praise be unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nashhadu an la ilaha illallah. We bear witness that none has the right of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We thank Him, we glorify His names, and we praise Him in times of ease and in times of hardship, and we plead to Him in these times of difficulty for His mercy, His kindness, and His assistance to get us through this. And we send our peace and love and salutations to our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to his pious and pure family, to his companions, and all those who follow his sunnah until the end of time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us to be steadfast on the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this life and in his companionship in the akhirah. Ameen. Walhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. We are together once again for this Jumu'ah lecture, unfortunately not in the masjid, and we pray that soon we will return to the masjid. For us here in South Africa, it has been 4 weeks now that we have not been together in the masjid, and our lockdown has been extended. Yesterday the President of South Africa has extended our lockdown for a further 2 weeks in this time of crisis, really changing the world in which we live, and you know, bringing a new reality for all of us. This is really, as many of the mashayikh have said, that it is one of the great tests of our time and our generation, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to assist us in this test, to grant us to fulfill our purpose and our objective. These are a reminder for us. May we be reminded and mindful, and when we come out of this test, you know, better than the people we were, bi-idhnillah. Today, inshallah, I think with the message that this lockdown will continue, and with the crisis continuing, it is of utmost importance for us to speak about hope, and to speak about the mercy of Allah, and to speak about things that keeps us uplifted. This weekend is also the Easter weekend, and many of our fellow friends and neighbors, our Christian you know, colleagues and friends, they would also be going through a similar kind of hardship, not being able to congregate in their places of worship during this Easter festival. And in fact, for those of us who live amongst Christians, we should understand that in terms of Christianity, the most important event on the calendar is not Christmas, rather it is Easter. And you know, if we look at it's important for us to know the essence of Easter, or the essence of what Christians believe happens here. They believe, of course, that it was on a Friday that Jesus Christ was crucified. Of course, we deny that, and we say, as Allah has said, that He was not crucified, and He was not killed, and He will return in the future. Rather, the belief of the Christians, the incorrect belief, is that He was crucified and He died, and then He was resurrected on Sunday. He was resurrected on Sunday. And the whole purpose and the story, why was Jesus crucified? Why was He resurrected? What is the purpose of this? This goes back to a fundamental belief of Christianity, a belief that all Christian groups and sects, Protestants, Catholics, Jehovah's Witnesses, and this is really the Aqidah, the fundamental of Christianity, is that they believe that when our father Adam and his wife, our mother Hawa, they ate from that forbidden tree, that they became cursed, their souls became tainted, and all their offspring, us, until the end of time, inherited the sin. And doesn't matter how much tawbah, istighfar, how good you are as a person, you are born with this curse, and this curse means you will go to Jahannam forever and ever and ever, and Allah will never forgive. All of humanity became cursed through this. And so, what is the purpose of life? Well, the only way to get rid of this curse is a sacrifice needs to be made, and that sacrifice is the death of Jesus Christ, and then His resurrection, is that you need to accept Him in your life. Of course, furthermore, they added the Trinity to that, believing that Jesus is actually Allah Himself. So Allah coming down, sacrificing Himself to Himself, to remove a sin which we didn't do. This we, of course, disagree with, and this is not the our theology. Our theology, rather, is that we acknowledge that our father and our mother Adam alayhi salam, they committed a sin. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches a very profound message, lesson, that in spite of the sin, in spite of how bad the sin was, and yes, that they tasted the consequences of it, they departed from Jannah as per Allah's plan. Allah then says, Allah turned to them in repentance, and Allah then taught them that this is the message of life, that you will go through life, you'll be presented with tests, you and your offspring. Allah will give us the guidance how to come through these tests. If we come through it by the grace of Allah, we will succeed and go to Jannah. If we fail in these tests, then still there is hope for us through
tawbah and istighfar. So this weekend for the Christians, it's all about repentance and returning to God. We also, inshallah, we want to use this opportunity to talk about repentance and returning to Allah, especially in the light of this virus, where we know part of this test is also a consequence of the sins that we have done and the sinful lives that we have led. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Have ye were to hold them account. Allah says, if ye were to hold mankind accountable for what they earned, you would have hastened for them the punishment. That surely there would have been a severe punishment on us if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really gave us what we deserved. And Allah says, and if Allah had destroyed men for their sinful ways, He would not leave on the earth a single creature. But He respites mankind until an appointed time. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, you see, if He really gave us what we deserve, then the punishment that is deserving on mankind for all the wrongs that we do. And subhanAllah, this is not Allah's injustice. Look at what we are doing to ourselves. How many millions of people are starving at a time when we have more food than this planet can eat. So much of it is destroyed. The wars that we do, the diseases that we have caused as a result of the oppression that we have. So Allah says, if all this evil that we do, if we were paid for what we have done, then it would be so bad that not a single living creature would remain on the earth. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has pardoned most of what we have done, and He leaves it till an appointed time. So the sins that we do, we sin, each of us are sinners. There is none of us that is perfect, and there are some of us that are deep in sin, committing major sin, and there are some of us, subhanAllah, that are trying day in and day out to try and one step forward, two steps back. This is the nature of insan. It is how we have been created, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to commit sin so that we can turn to Him in istighfar. That was the purpose. There's a hadith where the Prophet says that if we were a creature, a creation that did not sin at all, Allah would have surely replaced us with a creation that did sin so that we can turn to Him in istighfar, because what we get in return from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so much more beautiful when we return back to Him in istighfar and tawbah. So today, inshallah, we talk about the hope after sin. What hope can we have even though we've lived a very sinful life, no matter who you are, what you have done? Let us all think about those sins that we are most ashamed of. We don't believe in confession to any human person. It is only Allah that we confess our sins to. But we listen, as we sit here today in this waqt of Jumu'ah, on the day of forgiveness, we think of all those very, very dirty sins that we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never exposes us and never holds us to account. Today, inshallah, we believe that Allah can forgive all these sins. And the first way in which we get these sins forgiven is through istighfar and tawbah. And we need to understand the difference between these things. Istighfar is to ask forgiveness, saying astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. And istighfar is something which is a constant part of our daily life. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that he makes istighfar 70 times a day at least, and he is a person who never committed a sin. So for us, part of our daily cleansing, as you know, today we talk about washing your hands so regularly. We should wash our souls regularly for the mistakes that we do when we look at something haram, listen to something haram, say something haram. Sometimes it's small, sometimes it's big. The constant purification is just to say, astaghfirullah, ya Allah, forgive me, have mercy upon me for all the sins that I do, knowingly, unknowingly, ya Allah, I don't know, but those things are being recorded. So it is continuous, seeking forgiveness for all the sins we have done, the past and the present. Tawbah is a far more deeper form of istighfar. Tawbah is deep repentance, and usually this is specific, whereas istighfar is for something which we might not know. It might be general. Tawbah is, I committed this sin, ya Allah, and you turn to Allah and you beseech Allah for his forgiveness. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to know that whenever we invoke Him, whenever we turn to Him, whatever time of the day or the night it is, and we ask Him for forgiveness, no matter how bad the sin is, Allah says, and whoever does evil or wrongs himself, whoever commits a sin against himself and afterwards seeks Allah's forgiveness, he will surely find Allah oft forgiving, most merciful. This is a promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah basically swears here, he promises that no matter what sin you do, if you turn to Allah afterwards, you will find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is accepting of that repentance. In a beautiful hadith, the Prophet says, Allah to explain the happiness Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the pleasure Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has when someone turns to Him in istighfar and tawbah. Allah, the hadith says, Allah has greater joy at the repentance of one of His slaves. Allah has so much pleasure in when we make istighfar to Him, so much so that it compares the one who would have over his mount, which so the Prophet says, the Prophet will basically summarize the hadith, a person goes out to the desert and the person is on his camel, is all his provisions, his water, whatever it might be. And then the camel, you know, he lies down to fall asleep. When he wakes up, the camel is gone and his provisions are gone. And he's in the middle of the desert, nothing, and time goes by and he realizes, subhanAllah, I'm going to die. He has given up all hope of life. The man has given up hope to such an extent that he has even dug his own grave that he's going to die in it. And then all of a sudden, as he has given up all hope, he sees this camel, this animal coming forward, and he grabs the reins of that. He grabs the thing, you know. You can imagine the man comes and he grabs the animal, and he's so happy. I mean, he's basically, his life has been returned, and he says, "Oh Allah, you are my slave and I am your Lord." What does he mean? You are my slave and I am your Lord. He means to say, "I am your slave and you are my Lord." But out of his delirium, he's so delirious because of his happiness that he makes a mistake, and so he's confused of the intensity of his joy. The Prophet ﷺ says at the beginning of the hadith, Allah has more joy than this man when we raise up our hands and say, "Ya Allah, I looked at that thing which is haram. I said this haram thing. I made this mistake. Now I come to you. Ya Allah, forgive me for sinning against you and sinning against myself." Allah is so happy, more than that man, subhanAllah. We know also that of the rewards, the Nabi Nuh tells his people that if you make istighfar, you've committed the sin, you should be punished actually. But if you ask Allah, "Don't punish me, forgive me," not only will Allah forgive you, but Allah will allow the rain to come down, meaning Allah will put barakah in our money, our rizq, our children. Allah will cause us to be healthy. This disease might go away bi-idhnillah through tawbah and istighfar. Through tawbah and istighfar, after we've taken the precautions, tawbah is so beautiful and so loved by Allah that He not only forgives the sin, but He also wants to reward us in the dunya and the akhirah. Subhanallah. How do we make tawbah? What is the way we do it? How do we get to do this thing? No special formula. It is simply a sincere dua. It is for you to turn to Allah alone, and it is that you confess your sin to Allah alone. "Ya Allah, I did this," and you regret, you genuinely regret that sin. You know, subhanAllah, some people have said, "That sin that I gave up, I still enjoy it. You know, I still want to go towards it." And this is human nature. Sometimes we are so engrossed in sin, it has become second nature. It's hard to leave. That's fine. We turn to Allah and we say, "Ya Allah, I love this thing so much, and I long for this haram thing, but I'm coming to you for your help and your mercy. Forgive me, and I will make the sincerest efforts, Ya Allah, not to go back to that sin with your assistance." And even if the person goes back to it, you know, he's overpowered by his weakness, and he comes back and he makes tawbah and istighfar, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we believe He accepts and He forgives, and back and forth he goes. There was a scholar that mentioned, it might be that Allah created you with this weakness, a certain weakness, a certain temptation. Each of us are weak in a certain regard. And it is that sin that gets you to Jannah. What do you mean that sin gets me to Jannah? Because he is constantly in this internal battle. Day and night he's fighting. He commits the sin and he feels regret, and that makes him go to the musalla and make istighfar and tawbah. And then he spends a few days struggling against that temptation. Then he makes a mistake again, and again he repeats the cycle. But it was because of that sin that made him go to the musalla every day, every night, back and forth for 50, 60, 70 years. And he fought with himself. This might be the thing that actually is the thing that turned him to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives us for all our sins, and we make istighfar and tawbah for all our sins. So that is the first, the easiest and the best way to get your sins removed, to get my sins removed, is to continuously make istighfar and to make sincere tawbah for those big sins that we have done, those things which are in our minds. And we continuously make tawbah. We never know when Allah has accepted it. It might not be the first time, but we do so. There are other ways in which our sins are forgiven. We know that number two, besides istighfar and tawbah, the way to get forgiveness from Allah is to do as many good deeds as possible. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, there was a lecture we did, the divine scoreboard, the way in which Allah keeps score. So on the one side, there are negative marks against us, which is of course sin, and then we get positive marks for good deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us in such a way that when we make istighfar, He doesn't only remove the sin, but He gives us rewards. And similarly, when we do a good deed, Allah doesn't only reward us for that, He also removes a sin. So it is a double kind of reward. The Prophet ﷺ says, fear Allah wherever you are. Have consciousness of Allah at all times. And follow up a bad deed with a good deed. And it will blot it out. It will completely remove it. And the Prophet says, and deal with people in good manner, with good manner. So, the point of the hadith here is, the Prophet is saying, whenever you've committed a sin, and that moment of weakness, that moment of lack of judgment, you commit the sin, and then when your senses return to you, realize, Ya Allah, what did I do? Immediately perform some kind of ibadah. Whatever it is, make an EFT to some charity, go and perform two rak'ahs, open the Quran and recite, ask Allah to forgive you. The minute you do a good deed, following it up with a sin, you committed a sin and you follow it up with a good deed, immediately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blots out that sin. Another beautiful hadith, the Prophet Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and there's not many hadith that Abu Bakr himself narrates. One hadith he narrated, he said that the Prophet told him that whoever committed a sin, and then afterwards he went and he performed a beautiful wudu, a complete wudu, and made two raka'as in repentance, then that sin is expunged completely, subhanAllah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us that when we commit a sin, we return and we compensate it through a good deed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ, that the good deeds remove the evil deeds, that good deeds completely wipe out the bad deeds. And Allah has allowed that every time we commit, you know, every time we do good deeds, for example, the salawat, Ramadan, Umrah, Hajj, Jumu'ah, attached to it is this, you know, this vaccine, if you will, in the time that we're living in, it's this vaccine that purifies our soul of any of its germs and viruses, that when you perform that salah, you're not only getting a reward, you're also cleansing yourself of that sin. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this, that as we, you know, as you take regular intervals of ibadah, those regular intervals are purifications of our from our sins. And of course, the greater the good deed, the more powerful is that purification. So we know, for example, the man who goes and he stands, the lady with stands on the plains of Arafah in Hajj, when he leaves Arafah, then we believe that all of his sins, a lifetime of sin, is forgiven. There are other great, great acts of worship that also removes all your sins. You don't only have to go to Arafah. There's other ways. One of them, in fact, one of the greatest ways of getting every single sin, whether it is 60, 70, 80 years of sin, completely wiped out, is that of the month of Ramadan. These 30 days can compensate, you know, a 30, 40, 60 year life of sin wiped out. The Prophet ﷺ says, whoever fasts sincerely, or stands sincerely, or stands in the night of Laylatul Qadr sincerely, and hope for Allah's reward, all of his sins could be forgiven, bi-idhnillah. So, a huge opportunity coming up for us, may Allah grant us to achieve reach Ramadan, and achieve its full benefits. So the first one we said, to get sins removed is through istighfar and tawbah. The second one is to do a lot of good deeds. And the more good deeds you do, they wipe out those sins. Number three, Allah has made it such that maybe you did not do the tawbah and the istighfar. You committed the sin, but you neglected asking Allah for forgiveness. And you didn't do too many good deeds in terms of ibadah to Allah. But it might be that alhamdulillah, Allah blessed you with having good people in your life. And through the association of those good people, their dua for you assists you. The dua assists you. So we know that if I make dua, Ya Allah, forgive my brother, forgive my sister, even though he's not making dua for himself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, accepts the dua of others making dua for each other. And that is why, subhanallah, sometimes when we see, you know, today one of the big problems of the ummah is we are very quick to point out the faults of each other. And one way of really assessing, am I pointing these faults out? Am I, you know, giving advice in inverted commas here? Is it really for the benefit of the brother, for the sister, or simply to the superiority complex to make this person feel bad, one of the very good ways of understanding is if you go after advising the brother, what you're doing here is haram, is if you go afterwards when he's not seeing you and you make dua for him and says, Ya Allah, my brother, I've spoken to him, he's committing this sin, forgive him, have mercy on him. If you're not making dua for that person, then really when you're advising them, it is more maybe for as a way of humiliating that person or feeling superior to them. So watch our intentions, inshaAllah. This beautiful hadith, the Prophet ﷺ says, whenever a Muslim dies and 40 men stand at this person's janazah, and these are people that did not commit shirk with Allah, meaning these are believers, and then Allah will accept their intercessions on behalf of this man. Then the mayit, through the salah of these 40 people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive this man. Now, attached to the subhanallah, one of the, I was speaking to a friend and was saying that, you know, dying of this disease would be very, very bad. But I think what's even worse is not being able to have a proper janazah. We know the bigger your janazah and the more people at your janazah is a good indication of a good departure towards Allah. And we pray that, Ya Allah, when you take us on that day, may our janazahs be big. And let the quality of people at the janazah be wonderful people. So in this time, we know that the masajid are closed and this janazahs are small, very few people attend. So we should make that extra effort to make dua for all the people that have died, that we can't attend their janazas. Ya Allah, have mercy on them that have died during this period, that they are unable to have the full benefit of the janazah. Some people, their whole lives have been in the masjid. 5 times a day they are in the masjid, and so sad that they pass away and they don't have the privilege of having a janazah in the masjid. Of course, this is not a blemish against them. This is not, Allah SWT is never unfair to somebody, but this is the reality we're living in, and he will get his full due as it would be. We know of hadith when people are not there to perform the ghusl on a person or to perform the janazah on someone, then Allah will send angels to perform janazah and to ghusl these such people. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on all of those who passed away, and when we die, Ya Allah, may they be good people that make dua for us continuously. And, and as we said, the dua continues even after the janazah. If you have a relative that has passed away, they are longing so much for their son, their daughter, their grandson, their granddaughter, to make dua for them so that they can feel whatever goodness they have in the qabr, it will be elevated, they'll have more reward. And if they're going through hardship, through punishment, the punishment is alleviated through our du'as. So the people of the graves can never assist us. You can never go to the Karamat and ask, Tuan Guru, assist me. He cannot assist you, but we can assist the Imam through making du'a for them. Ya Allah, have mercy on them. So we remember the deceased in our du'as, and we hope that when we die, those after us will remember us in their du'as. So, number 3 is to make dua for them. Then number 4 is we can do good deeds. Besides duas, we can do good deeds for them. So we know if you have a parent that was unable to perform hajj, or you want to give a sadaqah, a charity on behalf of someone that has passed away, Allah has allowed this. So it's an amazing thing that even after you die, that your account can continue accruing in good deeds by people doing it on your behalf. You can, you hear it on Voice of the Cape, for the Sali Sawab, and you ask, who is Sali Sawab? Who is this guy Sali? It is Itha'i Thawab, for the, basically, the transfer of good deed, the reward. Itha means to transfer. Oh Allah, I'm transferring the good deeds on behalf of Ahmad or Fatima or whoever it might be. And so Allah has allowed us to do good deeds for the dead people. So, again, you might not have given a lot of charity, but you, alhamdulillah, one of the things that you've done is you have very good friends or you are a good father. And people love you so much that even after you die, someone makes a qurban on your behalf. Someone builds a mosque on your behalf. But of course, you don't want to wait for that. You don't want to depend on that. But Allah has allowed this to happen. It's a beautiful hadith. A man, Aisha says, a man comes to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and says, my mother has died all of a sudden. Muslim, so he's distraught, you know, he's so sad, my mom has died, and did not have a chance to bequeath anything, so she didn't leave anything behind in terms of charity. But if she were able to do so, I think that she would have given sadaqah. So the Prophet, so he's telling the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that she did not, or rather she did have money, but she didn't put it in her will, so when you die, one third of your will can go for charity. SubhanAllah. Side note here, it is instructed by the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that we should always have a will in place in case of emergency. And in times like this, la samahallah, may Allah not cause it to be so, but it is good for us now to think about having that will. One of the things that are important in that will is to leave some charity behind, up to one third, not more than one third, and of course to make our, you know, your situation better in the akhirah. So this man says his mom died and she didn't leave anything behind, but if she knew, she would have given some sadaqah. So can I, he asks, would, if I were to give sadaqah, would she be able to get the reward if I do it on her behalf? And the Prophet ﷺ said, yes, you can do so. If you give charity on her behalf, she will get it. Another hadith said, the man asked, what kind of charity can I give on her behalf? And the Prophet ﷺ says, basically, of the best things you can do is to provide people with water. And so he purchased a well, or he had a well dug, and he made that waqf for people, and his mother, bi'idhnillah, received the reward of that. So we can do good deeds on behalf of the deceased, with the niyyah for them. So you, maybe today you're finding someone hungry in this virus, or you find the masajid are in need of donations, people are losing their jobs, and you want to assist them. Not, you know, you give that 100 rand, you give that loaf of bread, you will get the reward, but you say, I make the niyyah that my mother, father, they get the reward. Insha'Allah, they will get the reward without you being diminished, in any ways. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards without any limit, bi'idhnillah. Then, this is very important, number 5. One of the ways in which our sins are diminished is through calamities. Through calamities on the earth. So in one way, we always mention that whatever befalls us on the earth of good or bad, if it brings us closer to Allah, then it is a mercy in the end. That even death, subhanAllah, someone we love, someone that is very close to us dies, or we become sick, or we lose our job, and this thing brings us closer to Allah, or we are patient in it, then this thing is a purification for us. We have many sins, subhanAllah. And the worst thing to happen, the worst outcome of our sins, is we carry all of it to Qiyamah. And we stand before Allah, and on the day of Qiyamah, we then get punished for those sins in Jahannam. Jahannam is we cannot bear the punishment of Jahannam. In some ways, we can bear the punishment in the dunya, but not the punishment of the akhirah. So one of the ways that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of His mercy, is He settles our account in the dunya. So when we meet Him, we meet Him fresh and clean. One of the reasons why our people, you know, we get old and we become frail and we become weak, people, and especially in this time where we know the older you are, the more susceptible you are to this disease. And people are scared. Our old mothers and fathers, they are scared. I'm going to get sick. This disease is going to take me. And they remember, just yesterday I was strong and healthy, and how quickly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has reduced me to be so vulnerable. Yes, it's not easy, it's very difficult, but remember, this is a purification. Allah is, as the hadith, one hadith says, Allah sweetens you, the believer, before you die, so that when you die in that beautiful state. So, the Prophet ﷺ tells us, no tiredness, no form of exhaustion, no form of emotional worry and grief or distress, no harm at all befalls a believer in this world. Not even as small or minute as pricking your foot with a thorn, being picked by a thorn, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove sins. So during this calamity, all of us are suffering. We are locked in our homes. Some of us, you know, we are scared. Some of us have lost financially, lost our jobs. Some of us are sick. Some of us, subhanAllah, are going to lose loved ones or even our own life. These calamities are so mighty. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses this to purify us completely. That as this calamity befalls this dunya, when this calamity blows over, bi'idhnillah, very quickly, what is left is us pure and clean of all our sins, bi'idhnillah. Then, number 6, another form of forgiveness is that of the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of Qiyamah. We know that a hadith which we all are very familiar with. We know that the Prophet ﷺ informed us that every Nabi of Allah was given a special gift, meaning a dua which Allah had given him and said, whatever you want, you will get. And so every single Nabi used that dua in the dunya. They used that special gift from Allah, they opened it and they used it in the dunya. The Nabi ﷺ said, I did not use my dua yet, rather I kept it with me and I'm going to use it on Qiyamah. I mean, subhanAllah, look at the foresight of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The day which is the most difficult day, he says, that day, that is the day I'm going to use this dua. And that day my dua is going to be for my ummah, specifically ummati. There's a long hadith about the intercession. In fact, every single person, even the worst of the worst, will benefit from that intercession of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But in particular, his dua would be for ummati, my nation. And the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, my intercession will be for those amongst my ummah who have committed major sins. So the most difficult of people on the day of Qiyamah of this ummah, those of us, may Allah protect us, those who carry a major sin to Allah on the day of Qiyamah. They've committed a big one. A big one meaning murder, zina, some things we might even, khamar, riba. We take this very lightly. Riba is all akbarul kabair, of the biggest of the major sins, is to have riba, pay riba, earn riba. So any person who comes to Allah on the day of Qiyamah with a major sin, now this is a big mushkila. This is a big problem. Because Allah says in the Quran that if you come to Allah with only minor sins, then those will be forgiven on Qiyamah and you will avoid Jahannam. So anyone who comes to Allah as a believer with only minor sins, then he will be guaranteed Jannah without Jahannam. But a person with a major sin on his name, he is liable for Jahannam. And that is where the intercession, the Prophet ﷺ will come in. And bi-idhnillah, if Allah accepts, then that person's major sins will be forgiven. And if Allah does not accept that intercession on his behalf of this person, then this person will be liable for Jahannam. How do we get the intercession of Nabi ﷺ? Very easily, we know, we make the dua after every adhan. We hear the adhan at the mosque, so we still make that Allahumma rabba hadhi da'wati ta'ama, we make that dua, bi-ithnillah. On Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we know, is like a courtroom. And they, we will have witnesses against us. In fact, we will testify against ourselves. But there will be some who will witness on our behalf and intercede. Of them are the angels. The Prophet, Allah subhanahu says in the Quran, how many are there of angels in the heavens? Their intercession will not avail anything except after Allah has given leave for them. He will leave with whom He pleases and that He is acceptable to Him. So Allah says, the angels, the malaika, they continuously making dua for us. And it's amazing, you know, think about the angels, they come to our homes, they see us, they in their kindness to us, they're making dua, Ya Allah, Muhammad is going through difficulty, Aisha is going through some hardship, make it easy and they forgive them every time we commit a sin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the intercession of the angels. In some regards, He accepts that. Your good deeds, we know that your fasting will complain to Allah on the day of Qiyamah. Your Quran will cry to Allah on the day of Qiyamah. Ya Allah, I kept him busy. I kept him out of his sleep. So forgive him. They will be our witnesses in the Qabr and on the day of Qiyamah. So the stronger we want that witness, the more fasting and Quran in particular. There are special people. There are people who will intercede on Allah's on our behalf. Amongst them is the Hafidh al-Quran. This is a bit of a weak hadith, but bi-idhnillah. So the Hafidh, we know he will be allowed to, according to this weak hadith, that he will intercede on behalf of 10 people. And the Shaheed, the martyr, he will intercede on behalf of others on the day of Qiyamah. So one of the honors of certain people that they've done such a lot of good deeds in the dunya, that not only will they be saved on Qiyamah, they can actually pull others and save others. It's not just the very special. There's another hadith coming about everyone being able to perform intercession. So number 8, we'll get back to that hadith. Number 8, wrongs done against you. So remember, anyone who has done anything wrong, your rights were taken in the dunya. And you have been wronged in any way. Someone said something wrong to you. Someone abused you in some way. They harmed you physically. They harmed you financially. They harmed you emotionally. They harmed your honor. psychologically they've done something wrong to you. Anything that was done like this and it was not reconciled in the dunya, then that debt must be paid on the day of Qiyamah. And we know this very famous and scary hadith, the hadith of the muflis, the bankrupt person, where the Prophet ﷺ asked the Sahaba, who is bankrupt? And the Sahaba said, the bankrupt one is the one who has his debts are more than his assets. And the Prophet ﷺ, I'm not talking about this kind of bankruptcy. Rather, he says, the bankrupt person is a person on one Qiyamah will have lots of salah, lots of fasting, lots of sadaqah, but he will find himself bankrupt on that day. How so? Because he had also accumulated a lot of good deeds, but on the other side, he had committed a lot of harm to others. He spoke bad of this one. He, sent a message that harmed someone else. He was debating unnecessarily with this one. He was backbiting that one. He was taking the haq of someone else. He abused this person. And subhanAllah, today when we abuse someone, in the past you abused one person, to his face or whatever, and that was it. Now you abuse someone online and thousands, millions of people read it, and that insult is all against you, subhanAllah. May Allah protect us. Thousands, millions of people see it, read it, share it, and those are all upon you. May Allah have mercy on us. Those millions and millions are counts against you. And so all that good deeds are taken from you until that person is left with no good deeds. But he still has a queue of people that he harmed. What now? Now he takes the sin of Jahannam. So this good person that did a lot of good deeds, because he harmed people, he ends up in Jahannam through harming people on the day of in the dunya. So there are some of us, some of you, who are victims. You in your heart, you know that someone stole something from your haq, your financial haq, or whatever it might be, or the someone that really hurt you, your emotions. Subhanallah, may Allah protect us, mother-in-laws, daughter-in-laws. You find that this grudge is there until the day of Qiyamah. Set those things right in the dunya. Because if you have those claims against one another on the day of Qiyamah, it's not a good thing. And even the victim, even if you are the victim, you have all the claims against this one and that one, it is better for you to let it go in the dunya. Once you say, Ya Allah, even without that person knowing, what a beautiful thing, you go to, Ya Allah, this person or that person, they harmed me, they hurt me, I still feel the pain in my heart, but I ask you, Ya Allah, forgive them for what they did to me. This is, high level taqwa and iman. Allah speaks about these kind of people in the Quran, that they afina al-nas, that they make afu, they pardon the people, and in return they get the pardon of Allah. Allah says in the Quran, do you not want Allah to have mercy on you? So you forgive and you pardon others. This whole khutbah today is about pardoning and forgiving. We want the forgiveness of Allah. And so then, let go of those grudges. Perhaps, subhanAllah, in this moment of Jumu'ah, in this holiest of days, when we make dua, Ya Allah, forgive each of us for our sins, make dua for your worst enemy as well. Make dua that, if he's not a Muslim even, make dua Allah guides him to Islam. And make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives the worst of sins and that Allah makes us better. This is what we want. We don't want to see any person going to Jahannam. The prophets of Allah, they gave their lives, preventing even people like Fir'aun from going to Jahannam, trying their best to take Abu Jahl out of Jahannam. Yeah, we are very quick to send our own blood brother to Jahannam. Our best friend that we were for 20 years, he did one thing wrong, you will go to Jahannam forever and I'll be happy. A'udhu billah. So pardon people, and if you were the transgressor, then make sure you fix these things. You make these, fix these things before the day of Qiyamah. Then, on the day of Qiyamah, if all else, number 9, if you have now your sins, so tawbah, you didn't ask Allah to forgive you and repent for your sins, you didn't do good deeds, people didn't ask Allah to forgive you, people didn't do good deeds on your behalf, you had a very comfortable life and so there were no calamities to purify you, you didn't get the intercession of Day of Qiyamah, if there were no claims that you could even have set off on the Day of Qiyamah, so what now? Now, you are liable for those sins. And it could be as a mercy from Allah that He gives a minor punishment rather than a big one. That yes, the sin now needs to be punished. And so the punishment might be smaller. So of the things, some of the sinners, they are caught in the dunya, the man who murdered, the man who committed zina. So they are punished in the dunya. The Sharia says that this person must be punished physically in the dunya. This punishment will be a kind of expiation for the sins. Perhaps it would be that in the qabr, that people get difficulty in the qabr, it might be that that expiates those sins, expunges the sins before getting to Jahannam. So anything that removes that sins, even a punishment before Qiyamah, we said it is a form of, it is a form of a mercy. The Prophet ﷺ, we know there was a lady who committed zina and she was stoned to death. It's a long hadith basically, and she was stoned to death, and the Prophet ﷺ performed janazah salah on her. And the Sahaba said, how do you perform janazah salah on a lady which we just stoned to death? And he said to the Sahaba that she received such a repentance from Allah that it could really forgive 70 people, not just her, but 70 people could share in that level of forgiveness. Yes, she went through the punishment, but this punishment was severe and therefore it purified her completely. So if anyone goes through a difficulty in the dunya and has even in the qabr, it might be a cleansing for the akhirah. Then lastly, of course, there is the punishment of Jahannam still. So the root of sin, as we said, in the dunya you commit the sin, there are many, many ways of getting free of that sin. If those sins are not sorted out in the dunya, then you are liable in the qabr or on the day of qiyamah, that sin might be punished. And then some will, may Allah protect us, the believer, we know that all the believers who did not commit shirk with Allah, they will enter Jannah. Some will enter immediately, others will enter via Jahannam. So there are Muslims, believers, but because of the quantity or the severity of their sins, and this is only for Allah to judge. Really, you know, people say, you don't have the right to judge me, only Allah can judge me. That is true, 100% true. Only Allah knows the way the sin was done, what was in the heart, the severity of it, and then Allah alone will be able to assign a punishment. And so then people will be going to Jahannam. Now this hadith is a beautiful hadith, you know, one of my favorite hadith. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri is reported, and it's mentioned in Sahih Muslim, that he says that the Prophet ﷺ said, by the one in whose hand is my soul, the Nabi saying, by Allah, none of you can be more insistent in asking Allah to restore his right. So the Prophet is saying, the people that will be the most argumentative with Allah on the day of Qiyamah, the people who will argue with Allah for his rights against his opponent, there will be no one that will argue with Allah more severely than the believer on the day of resurrection on behalf of his brother who was in the fire. Subhanallah. So the Prophet is saying the people will argue with Allah the most. It's not for themselves, but they will argue on behalf of their fellow Muslim brother who's in the fire. They will say, Ya Allah, those people there in Jahannam, they used to fast with us, and they used to pray with us, and they performed Hajj with us. That Buddha there, Ya Allah, I was with him on Arafah. I don't know what sins he did. That is between him and Allah, but I am going to account and vouch for him, you know, for his good deeds. Now this is an amazing, amazing hadith. Why? Because we know in Surah Abasa, the Prophet Allah says, on that day the mother will run away from her children, the husband will run away from his wife. No one, everyone will say, nafsi, nafsi. But some people, you know, after they have been saved from Jahannam, they will basically, you know, before they get to Jannah, they'll make a U-turn and they'll say, Ya Allah, I want to come back and I want to intercede on behalf of this man, subhanallah. And then after these people complain to Allah on behalf of their fellow Muslims in Jahannam, it will be said to them, now, to the angels basically, bring out those whom you recognize, or rather Allah will say to these people, so take out from Jahannam those whom you recognize, and the fire will be forbidden for them. So you go look who in Jahannam is there that you recognize that did good deeds, take them out. So they will bring them out. And Allah will say to the angels that have interceded, and the prophets have interceded, so Allah will then say to the angels, because even the angels will complain, these people, they're in Jahannam, Ya Allah, but they did good deeds. Allah will say to them, now you also take out those people that you are vouching for, until there is none left now in Jahannam except for Allah himself to show mercy. Meaning Allah will say that everyone that has mercy has shown mercy. What is left is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself to show mercy. And as the hadith mentioned, in a way which we make no associations with Allah, he will grasp a portion of Jahannam or the fire, and he will bring out people in there that had not even an atom's weight of good deeds, but they were believers. They believed in Allah and they did not commit a shirk with Allah. And so if all else fails, if our good deeds fails, our tawbah fails, remember the thing that we have the most hope in is the hope of Allah's mercy. The most important thing that gives us hope in the worst of times is that in who Allah is. The first step is to know who He is. And the very first thing when we open the Quran, who is Allah? Who is Allah? Allah is not the one who is here to punish and to cause harm. You open the Quran, the first thing is, Bismillah, in the name of Allah, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, the infinitely merciful, the one who is most, most merciful, who says, وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعْتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ, that my mercy touches and embraces, it envelops every single thing, every living, animate, inanimate, shaitan himself, everything is enveloped, wrapped up in Allah's mercy. Of the names of Allah, Ar-Rahim, we know it comes from the Rahim, which is the womb. The name of Allah Ar-Rahim comes from the womb. Why? Because the womb is the safest, most loving place that envelops the baby. Allah says, this is my name Ar-Rahim. This is how I envelop the creation with my mercy. And there are many names of Allah. Al-Ghafur, Al-Ghafar, the one who forgives. Al-Afu, the one who removes all sins. Al-Tawwab, the one who returns to you when you committed sin. Al-Latif, the most gentle. Al-Wadud, the most loving. Al-Halim, the most forbearing. The more sins you do against Him, He pardons and He overlooks. Allah says, كَتَبَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ. Allah says, I have made compulsory on me, I have made it fard on me, that I will show mercy to my creation. أَنَّهُ, that whoever commits a sin, بِجَهَالَ, with, you know, ignorantly, not understanding his sin, and then he turns, فَثُمَّ تَابَ مِن بَعْدِ, and then he turns to Allah in repentance, and he makes right himself, then Allah will, أَنَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ, then Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful. Allah says to the Nabi Sallam in the Quran, نَبِّئْ عِبَادِي, say to my ibad, my servants, أَنِّي أَنَا الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ, that I am most surely of forgiving, the most merciful. And in the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ says that Allah Himself says, my mercy will always be bigger than my punishment. Allah will always forgive more than He punishes. That all the mercy, we know this hadith, if all the mercy and all the kindness in every parent, in every animal, every goodness of every creature on this earth will be put together, it is only 1% of the 99%, which is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah says about Himself, or the Prophet says about Himself, that Allah is generous when you make dua. He gives and He is shy. He is shy that you raise your hands and you say, you ask Allah that He leaves that hand empty-handed. Allah is shy to return that hands empty-handed. No one raises his hands and he says, Ya Allah, forgive me, except that Allah will give him something, either accepts that sin, forgives that sin, or gives him something better. Allah, we know of a hadith, this beautiful hadith, where a mother, was worried that her child had died in a fire. And then she was panicking and hysterical, and she believed the child had burned to death. And then there she saw her child alive and well. And so she grabs the child and she hugs him and kisses him. And the Prophet ﷺ says, can you imagine this lady ever throwing this child in a fire? They said, no, what mother can ever do that? No mother can do that. And so the Prophet ﷺ says, Allah is more merciful to His slaves than this woman is to her child. Allah is more loving to His creation than this mother. Allah is more reluctant to put anyone in Jahannam than this lady. Allah will use every method not to allow us to enter up into Jahannam. So we should have faith. We should have faith in that. We end off with this hadith, which is, I've said so often and so frequently, the hadith which gives us so much hope, that we know the Prophet says, Allah says Himself, O son of Adam, as long as you call upon me and put your hope in me, I have forgiven you. It's a guarantee. I have forgiven you. And I, for what you have done, and I don't mind, I mean, the word Allah uses, I don't mind. I don't even worry at what you have done. So long as you ask me for forgiveness, I forgive it. Then He says, O son of Adam, if your sins were to reach the sky, and then you would ask me for forgiveness, you accumulated so much sin, and then you ask me for forgiveness while you're still alive, I will forgive you, O son of Adam, even if on the day of Qiyamah, you come to Allah with sins equal to filling this entire world, this massive planet, filled with sins, unimaginable amount of sins, but you also did not commit shirk with Allah, you worshipped Him alone, then Allah will come to you with a world filled with mercy and forgiveness. In these difficult times, in these times of confusion, in these times we feel very sad, The thing that gives us most hope is that this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we're talking about, and that Allah's mercy is close at hand. All we need to do is raise our hands and we ask Allah in this waqt of Jumu'ah, Ya Allah, have mercy on us, forgive us, make easy for us our tests, our trials, may we come through this better people, forgive all our sins, and may we meet you on the day of Qiyamah free of any sins, bi-idhnillah. We put our faith and trust and hopes in your mercy. Forgive us, Ya Allah, most merciful, most kind. وصلى الله سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.